This is the Texas Standard.
Bit of news last night as the annual event here got underway. Republican Congressman Will Hurd, who's announced he's not running for re-election in the next cycle, but definitely not stepping away from politics, called Texas, get this, a jump ball, which may help explain why one of the people seated next to us at our makeshift studio here at Trib Fest finds herself once again covering her native Texas. She is political columnist with The Washington Post. Karen Tumulty, welcome back to Texas and the Texas Stand.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be home in Texas. And fortunately, it's a really quiet week back in Washington.
Yeah. Also with us, a longtime political analyst we've turned to frequently to understand the changing political dynamics of the Lone Star State. She is Director of Civic Engagement at the LBJ School of Public Affairs, University of Texas, Victoria DeFrancesco Soto. Welcome back to the Texas Standard, Vicki.
Thank you, David.
All right. Hanging over everything here, I suppose, is the high drama of impeachment. We were just talking a little bit about this, Karen. Where do you think this is all headed?
You know, I think no one knows where this is all headed. And we really don't have any modern precedent to guide us because we've not had, in modern times at least, an impeachment proceeding land right in the middle of a presidential campaign. And I do think one thing that is probably a fairly safe bet is that this is going to sort of blot out the sun and really make it hard for any other issues to get discussed in this presidential campaign. And I think it could also reshape the race for the Democratic nomination as well.
Vicki, how do you think this is going to play out in Texas if you had to sort of read the tea leaves here?
So as we heard yesterday from Representative Will Hurd, Texas is a jump ball. And I think that the impeachment proceedings make Texas even more likely to be a jump ball, not just because of the swampiness that is D.C. and that the impeachment proceedings bring up, but also because of some issues that we've been having here in the state. The political drama with the Speaker of the Texas House and Michael Quinn Sullivan, what's going on there? So I think that you find Republicans who may have held their nose with President Trump, those George W. Bush Republicans that didn't like Trump, but they said, we're going to write it out. They're seeing the drip, drip, drip of just ugliness, political ugliness, corruption, whiffs of corruption. I think that may push a lot of folks to make Texas a little bit lighter shade of red and maybe even purple or blue.
Do you think, Vicki, let me just stick with you for a moment. If you're John Cornyn or you have his ear, do you tell him to hang in there with Donald Trump right now or what?
For right now, you know, this is going to unfold day by day. This has all gone very quickly, the
sure
impeachment
has.
Proceeding. So right now, right this hour, you know what, stick it out. Let's wait to see what comes up because the impeachment process, and let me take a step back and wear my civic engagement hat. This is a beautiful, beautiful thing. This is exactly what our founding fathers envisioned. They said, we need to have a roadmap to protect our institutions, to protect our democracy if there are problems with the players within the game. And this is how it's supposed to play out. Maybe Donald Trump is found that nothing was done untowardly, then that is the process. So I think for right now, you just wait and see what the process, what the inquiry unfolds.
Is Donald Trump the top issue for 2020, Karen Tumulty, or is there, you know, immigration and all these other things that...
I think that Donald Trump being Donald Trump was always going to be the top issue for 2020. But you overlay this with an impeachment proceeding, and yes, this becomes all about President Trump. And of course, the chances of this removing him from office are minuscule because while I think you'd probably right now have to bet on the House impeaching him,
right.
It's just hard to see how the dynamic in the Senate shifts to the point where they would convict him.
So President Trump then would claim victory, and he would say that the will of the electorate was again that politicians in Washington were trying to change that.
Yeah, he would certainly claim that it was an exoneration. The question is whether, in the course of these proceedings in the House convinces the majority of the electorate otherwise, and that is why I really think they have to be very careful and very sort of judicious about how they proceed. And so far what we've seen of the House Judiciary Committee does not give you a lot of confidence on that score. You look at Corey Lewandowski, Trump's former campaign manager, who testified last week, and he just essentially ran circles around the House Judiciary Committee until they put their staff attorney onto the questioning. Mm-hmm. I think that as they proceed, the first thing that the Judiciary Committee needs to do is quit giving its members their 5 minutes of, you know, showboating time and just give the questioning over to the pros.
Dr. DeFrancesco Soto, you were nodding your head there.
Yeah, and I also want to bring up the fact that this is a numbers game. So what we have seen over the past couple of months is, I think, about a dozen GOP retirements in the House have been announced, and in the Senate, four. So, you know, let's just say that traditionally partisanship is going to hold folks close to their president and support their guy or gal. But given these retirements, these are folks, these are Republicans that can say, you know what? I'm not running. Mm-hmm. What do I care? This guy's in hot water. Even if he survives, I don't want the funk on me. So I may just vote to impeach him. And in the Senate, those that are retiring may say, you know, maybe I need to vote my conscience here because I'm not coming back.
You know, we have two Texans who are still in the race for president, at least right now. We have Julian Castro, former HUD secretary, and Beto O'Rourke, a former congressman from El Paso, a favorite son of El Paso. Just to be clear, where do you think that, how do you think it's looking for each of them as we head into this next round of debates in October?
Well, I think that one of the things that I think both of them were counting on is the kind of magic that we often see in the Democratic primary as it leads into Iowa, where somebody you don't see coming kind of catches fire. I think it's worth reminding people that at this point during the 2004 race, the Democrat candidate who was ahead by double digits was one Wesley Clark.
Wow.
So that's how that is how much things can change.
Yes, right.
But I think that with what's happening with this impeachment proceeding, the oxygen, the opportunities for these candidates who are now in the rear of the Democratic primary field, at this point I think it's 19 candidates in all, there's going to be a lot less opportunity for them to shake up the race. And so I think at this point it's looking more and more like it's going to come down to a two-person race between Joe Biden and Elizabeth Warren.
Do you think that there's a shot for Beto O'Rourke, Julian Castro, to make it into the November debates?
So never say never in politics, and I learned that after Donald Trump won. You know, so many of us pundits said, no, no, this isn't going to happen. But I do think just looking at the numbers in terms of polling and also in terms of dollars, there isn't that much to spread around. And given the Trump presidency, folks are hungry to consolidate behind one person, and the DNC is feeling a lot of that pressure. Mm. They were going to make the standards even tougher for the November debate. They walked that back, but the pressure is there. So while nothing is impossible in politics, I think the pressure from just the general party is pushing them in the other direction.
So who's the standard bearer then for the Democrats heading into 2020? And that's one that I think a lot of people just really can't visualize as of yet.
Well, I mean, Vicky's right. Predicting something that far away, we should all have learned our lessons from the 2016 election.
True.
But I think the most interesting thing to watch right now is how Joe Biden handles himself. On the one hand, this, you know, the revelations of the last couple of weeks about Donald Trump putting pressure on the Ukrainian president to do away with, you know, to investigate Biden, shows that he is the candidate that Trump most fears. So it really elevates him. On the other hand, the Trump and the Republicans are putting these so far evidence-free allegations about the vice president into the water. So Joe Biden's going to have a real balancing act of how he capitalizes on his newfound stature as the primary rival versus how he deals with these, again, evidence-free allegations. He is not the most deft politician.
Right.
So,
well, that's Karen Tumulty. She is political columnist for The Washington Post. Also, Victoria DeFrancesco Soto, director of civic engagement at the LBJ School of Public Affairs.